Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Thursday, September 16th, coming up on today's show. A student who was asked to change her clothes due to a violation of Tantramar Regional High School dress code is speaking out against inconsistent enforcement of the rule and the need to update or eliminate the policy. Grade 12 TRHS student Fiona Brett dropped by CHMA Studios to tell me about her dress code violation and what it's inspired her to do. That's coming up shortly. The tone changed dramatically at Wednesday's COVID-19 briefing as Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell delivered news of another death, increased hospitalizations, and a continuing surge in new cases.
New Brunswick is facing a grave threat from COVID-19. We have now 12 patients in hospital with this virus, which is more than we have seen since last April. We have 7 patients in ICU. Unfortunately, we have also recorded another death of a New Brunswicker from the effects of COVID-19, and my thoughts are with the family today. This is the 48th death that we've reported since the pandemic began in 2020.
Russell also announced 63 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the province, a number that she says is bound to get worse.
This is the largest single-day report we have seen to date. New Brunswick has 293 active cases, which is nearly as many as we saw in mid-January. We are now on a trajectory for 100 new cases a day, every day.
18 of yesterday's new cases were in Zone 1, where there are now 97 active cases. Premier Blaine Higgs was also on hand Wednesday to deliver news of the government's response to the surge, a vaccine passport system that will come into effect next Wednesday, September 22nd.
Beginning next Wednesday, proof of vaccination and government-issued ID will be required by those 12 and over to access the following events, services, and businesses: indoor festivals, performing arts, and sporting events; indoor and outdoor dining and drinking at restaurants, pubs, and bars; nightclubs, amusement centers, pool halls, bowling alleys, casinos, and movie theaters; gyms, indoor pools, and indoor recreation facilities; indoor group exercise facilities.
Proof of vaccination will also be required for participation in organized events and sports, from weddings to conferences to soccer leagues. But churches and faith-based groups will not be under the same rules. Instead, those groups will be required to prove that they have surveyed their members and achieved a 90% vaccination rate among them. Higgs said proof of vaccination could be a vaccination record or a photo of one, either from a regional health authority or a pharmacy. Online records at MyHealthNB can also be used, though Russell did warn yesterday that the MyHealthNB system was stressed and advised people to wait a day or two before trying to access it. Changes next Wednesday will also include the return of the travel registration process and the requirement for anyone not fully vaccinated to isolate for 14 days when entering the province. Higgs said Wednesday that border checkpoints will not return yet. In order to set up interprovincial checkpoints, the province would need to bring back an emergency order, which Higgs is ruling out for now. He does say public safety officers will do spot checks, but that the system is based on integrity. It's not yet clear if the registration is a one-time affair or required for each crossing. As of Thursday morning, the travel registration page on the province's website still features text announcing the end of the previous travel registration program. Election Day is just 4 days away on Monday, September 20th. Tonight on CHMA at 6 p.m., you'll be able to hear from some local federal election candidates. The Mount Allison Students' Union is hosting a forum featuring 4 of the 6 candidates in the Beauséjour riding. Listeners will hear from the NDP's Evelyn Godfrey, Liberal Dominic LeBlanc, Green Party candidate Stella Anna Girouard, and Shelley Mitchell from the PC Party. MASU has decided not to invite candidates from 2 parties who will appear on the ballot. Jack Miner is running for the People's Party of Canada in Beauséjour, and Isabelle Chiasson is running for the Free Party. MASU VP External Hannah Ehler said the organization decided to apply rules developed by the Federal Leaders Debate Commission. Both Miner and Chiasson have collected and submitted the required 100 signatures from Beauséjour residents in order to appear on the ballot, but neither of their parties qualified for televised leaders' debates, and so Massu has left them out of the local candidates' forum. You can find out more about both candidates over at worktimes.com, where journalist Bruce Wark is profiling all the Beausejour candidates that he can get a hold of. Tonight's forum, featuring the other four candidates, will be moderated by Mount Allison political science professor Dr. Mario Levesque and cover topics including COVID-19 recovery, digital infrastructure, climate change, truth and reconciliation, affordability, healthcare, accessibility, and leadership. The forum starts at 6 p.m. tonight and is expected to run about 1 hour. Tomorrow is a National Nurses' Day of Action, with demonstrations organized across the country aiming to spread awareness about the nursing shortage and poor working conditions for nurses. The day is organized by the Canadian Federation of Nurses Unions and Provincial Nurses Unions. The Federation says the shortage of nurses currently causing ER closures in Sackville and elsewhere in Canada has been a chronic problem building for the past 10 years. They say nurses and healthcare staff are overworked, underpaid, burnt out, and suffering moral distress because there are not enough staff to provide the care that patients deserve. Federation President Linda Silas said she hopes the public will show their support for nurses on the day of action. In the Southeast, Moncton area locals of the New Brunswick Nurses Union will gather from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday in front of the TD Bank at Champlain Mall. There's no word yet on whether an action in Sackville will take place. Fiona Brett's week didn't start as she planned. The grade 12 student at Tantramar Regional High School went to school on Monday as usual, but before she could get to class, a teacher stopped her and asked her to change her clothes. Brett's top, a dark, long-sleeve sweater with a cropped waist, did not meet the school's dress code. Brett is not one to break a rule, and so she went home to change her clothes. But while she didn't want to break the rule, she also didn't agree with it. While she was home, Brett posted a picture of herself in the offending garment on social media and started to get a lot of reaction. Now she's leading an effort to have the dress code at TRHS reevaluated and either changed or done away with altogether. Brett dropped by CHMA yesterday to tell us what happened and what she plans to do next. Fiona Brett, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you had an unfortunate start to your week this week. Can you tell us what happened?
So I walked into school on Monday morning on September 13th. I was wearing a long sleeve crop top with high-waisted pants that showed maybe an inch, maybe 2 inches of my stomach. I had just sanitized my hands when I was walking into the school when a staff member asked me if I had a longer shirt. I only half heard what she said, and I responded with what? She said, "We can find you a longer shirt." I did not refuse to get changed. I asked if I could per permission to drive myself home to get a longer shirt. Permission was granted, so I went home to change. I found a shirt that fit me correctly, and that fit the school dress code, and then I went back to school.
Okay, all right. Did you suspect that would happen when you were getting dressed on Monday morning?
So because of the school dress code policy and how the school dress code policy is being enforced, it's really unpredictable to know if you will be dress coded or not when you walk into the school. So the dress code says all clothing must completely cover the chest, back, both upper and lower, and midriff. That is not always enforced. The dress code is very strict, but the enforcement is not. And that's a big issue. And that's part of the reason why I think so many people are frustrated because, yes, not only is the dress code a bit unreasonable, it's also not enforced correctly, and that makes it even more frustrating.
Right. So, I mean, you do feel that the dress code as it's written, technically you were in violation on
Monday
morning. Yes,
I do agree with you there.
Right. But what you're saying is that there's sort of a culture of how it gets enforced and what becomes normalized in terms of what people wear. So you're saying often there are people wearing shirts or outfits that have like the midriff showing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you know why you were singled out?
I'm not sure. I didn't ask. At the time I felt like it wasn't worth me personally directly saying to the teacher, like, why am I personally being singled out? I did not argue with her. I went home. I got changed. I put a 5 XL t-shirt on to prove a point. That was my subtle way of saying, like, this fits the dress code. But I definitely did a lot of thinking, and that's why I ended up posting it about it on Facebook and Instagram.
Since you posted about it, what's been happening since then? I know there are social media reports, lots more people, all young women, being sent home for dress code violations or getting dress coded. Have you have people been coming to you telling you that they've also been sent home?
I have. Yeah. I've had people who haven't been sent home but been asked to change. The dress code says that persistent or blatant non-compliant students will result in disciplinary consequences that may include a suspension from school. Most students are aware of that, so they don't argue when they are dress coded. They go, okay, well, I don't have anything longer, and the school will provide them with a shirt that does meet the dress code, which is frustrating because often people are wearing crop tops or shirts that they do get dress coded for because they want to express themselves, and those school shirts do not allow them to do that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, okay, so there's two issues for you. One is the policy as it is not really being enforced fairly for everybody. Number two is you have a problem with the policy in general. Explain that.
I have an issue with dress code policies because I believe that most dress codes, including the TRHS dress code, is outdated. I believe that people, within reason, should be trusted to wear something that's appropriate and to that's appropriate and that is presentable enough that it wouldn't offend people and wouldn't violate any rules that society has. I think seeing somebody's stomach is not one of those things that society has an issue with, because these, I'm going to say young women, but there are men that wear crop tops too, and I don't want to take away from that, but stereotypically women wear these crop tops in places such as Mount A, such as Sackville, walking around on the streets, such as going to, I've seen celebrities wear crop tops going to formal events, and it's not been seen as not professional, it's not been seen as an issue. So why is that still being implemented in schools?
Mm-hmm. Are you interested in seeing like a dress code eliminated, or are you interested in seeing it changed?
So ideally, I think that the dress code should be eliminated. Personally, that's my personal opinion. I'm not forcing that on anybody. I do believe that if there's no dress code, there's no issue of whether or not it's being enforced correctly or not. That kills two birds with one stone. But if there must be a dress code, then it needs to be enforced correctly and consistently.
In terms of the consistency of the enforcement, do you feel that there's certain groups that are, you know, that end up getting targeted, either, you know, and I'm not saying that teachers are maliciously targeting groups. I guess I'm saying, you know, that just people's biases are playing out in terms of who they end up speaking to about this policy. So are there groups, like, is it females more than males? And is it different body types? Like, what's at play in that inconsistent application of these rules?
So I've talked to probably about 20 different women that go to school at Tantramar, mostly in grades 11 and 12. The women that have had the most consistent stories about being dress coded are the ones that either have bad reputations based on their marks or their poor work ethic, or if they just have, in grade 9s and 10, hung out with the wrong people and then got associated with the wrong people and then been generalized to, oh, they're the bad kids, and then...
So they have a social stigma.
Exactly. And then there's also plus-size women. I'm not the skinniest person who goes to Tantramar. I'm not the heaviest, but I'm in the middle. But I do notice that because of the way my body looks, people aren't okay seeing it as much as they were if I was skinnier. An example is one of my friends the following day, so Tuesday, I gave her the exact same shirt that I wore on Monday. It was my shirt. She wore it all day and nobody said anything to her. I am 5'4". I weigh 185 pounds roughly. She is 5'10", 5'11", and she's built like a model, and nobody said a word to her. She wore literally the exact same shirt that I only got two steps in the door in all day, and nobody said anything.
Do most teachers participate in the enforcement of this policy, or is it just a small number of teachers that are doing it?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I've talked to a couple of staff since Monday because obviously they're aware what's happening. They're aware that I'm posting about it on social media. The few staff that I have talked to are people that do believe the dress code should exist, and they are people that I've seen enforce it. The people that enforce it most of the time aren't rude about it unless you're rude back to them. I've never had a bad, like, obviously it's a bad experience to be dress coded. I've never had a bad, like, somebody yelling at me or telling me nobody wants to see that.
So it's been cordial.
Yes. Right. Although it's inconsistent, they're very polite about it. Yes. Right. Yeah.
So this has grabbed your attention. Like you said, this wasn't on your radar before Monday, but, you know, and it is now. What do you hope to do about it next?
So I currently, as of last night, I started an Instagram account, and I encourage people to check that out. Just for this, because although I am so thrilled with all of the people sharing and reacting and telling me their stories, it is a bit overwhelming on my personal Instagram account. So I started a separate one for that. The account is called Against THS Dress Codes. Currently we have 115 followers since about 6 o'clock last night. So in less than 24 hours, I say that's pretty good. I've done surveying on that account so far. I've asked people what they think is some positives about the dress code and negatives. I've asked people if they've actually read the dress code, because I know there's quite a few people who are mad about getting dress coded, but they don't know why and they haven't read the dress code. And I think you're allowed to be mad, but you need to read the dress code, and you need to know, even if you do break the dress code, because it is a rule and you should follow the rules. I'm not saying any of this because I think rules are stupid. I think you should follow the rules, but you need to know what they are before you get super upset and mad.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I've actually seen on social media a few people talk about a rule talking about if you're wearing a shirt and you raise your hands above your head, it can't show a part of your midriff. But there's nothing about that in the actual policy that I read. So that's sort of, I think maybe it was a in the dress code at some point in the history of Sackville, but not currently anyway.
Yes, I've read the dress code front and back over and over and over again the past few days. Some things that people are saying that are outdated, or they're assuming that's why they're being dress coded. And I encourage everybody who does get dress coded to say to the teacher, which part of the dress code am I violating, and why am I being dress coded? Because if they cannot answer those, then they really should not be dress coding you. If they can't tell you which part of the dress code you're violating, you really shouldn't be dress coded. I really encourage people to do that, and I don't encourage them to argue, because if they argue with that, that's when you could be at risk of suspension. And I don't personally want to be at fault for somebody getting suspended, but I do think you need to be aware of what's happening, and I think you need to be vigilant and to be vocal about what's happening.
So if you get enough interest from your fellow students about this, do you think you'll be asking for a meeting with the principal or going to the school district, or what do you think?
So I started last night reading a few policies, because the THS student dress code policy is based off of policy 703 and policy 332, which are both not long documents, so I encourage people to read those as well. And they need to follow those. I have not, as far as I know, there's things that I initially assume they're not doing, but I need to have further conversations with staff and administration before pursuing anything else. I would like to talk to staff. I would like to talk to the administration, because I would like to have their input. I'm not against them. I'm against the policy. And I think a lot of staff gets freaked out and worried that I'm out to get them, when that's not the case. I'm just wanting to change the policy for not just me, because I've had a lot of people tell me, well, Fiona, you're in grade 12 this year, it's not going to really affect you or much, if it does at all. And it's not about me. It's about people coming after me who are going to face similar issues.
In terms of the fact that often a dress code policy like this gets mostly impacts women. It also has to do with the, you know, how fashion works and what, you know, what's out there for women to buy. I've seen comments on social media that seem fairly valid to me that there's, I mean, if you go shopping at your average mall for clothing in your age group, crop tops are going to be like a pretty common item. You can't really avoid them. And I guess that's part of your point here, is that like a policy like this is not keeping up with current culture.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's in the way that it mostly affects women. I mean, do you worry that this is going to affect people's self-esteem or send wrong messages?
I do. I know personally I've struggled with body image issues since a very young age, which is unfortunate since I was probably around 10, so at least 7 years of my life, which is, it's heartbreaking, not just for me. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know several people that have had that issue. And as someone like me who has my body type and my body weight compared to my friend, I'm going to use the example of her wearing this exact same shirt as me and not getting dress coded. Personally, I have a pretty thick skin. I can handle something like that, but there are people who might not be able to. Recently, I've been working very hard to not have that mentality of, oh, well, she's skinny, so she can do it. I'm working really hard to do that, so, and it's working in this situation. But I know there's a lot of people that have that issue, or if there's people who just, you know, don't like their attention drawn to their bodies, it's not ideal. I have had some men reach out to me. I've had some great success. I've had men telling me that they support me and they want to know what they can do to help because they know it's not directly affecting them as much, but they would like to still help. And I've been so overjoyed to see those messages. One thing in the dress code is they're not allowed to wear hats indoors unless it's on hat day, which they have to pay typically $2 for. And a lot of the men are infuriated by that and have never voiced anything, but until I posted this and saw my account, and they've been coming forward and saying that. So that's something that I think that needs to be changed. And I have thought about that in passing, but not in this situation. So I was glad that was brought to my attention.
Is there anything that, you know, that you wanted to comment on that I haven't asked you about, Fiona?
I just think we need changes, and it's not in our wardrobe that we need changes. So I think it's really important that people get educated, but also voice their opinion and voice how they're feeling.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and yeah, best of luck and keep us posted.
Yes. Thank you.
That was Tantramar Regional High School student Fiona Brett. Though she's graduating this year, Brett is continuing her efforts to either change or get rid of the school's dress code. You can find out how it's going on the Instagram account she created for her campaign called Against THRS Dress Codes. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Thursday, September 16th. Before we leave you today, I wanted to take a moment to say thanks to a colleague who is headed off for new adventures. For just over a year now, Meg Cunningham has been doing the work of telling local stories and getting local voices on the air here at CHMA. She's helped build the CHMA News Department and our flagship show, The Tantramar Report. We'll miss her and her keen sense of justice, her respectful treatment of difficult issues, and her curiosity in all things food and art. So thanks, Meg. We appreciate all you've done. This one's for you.
keep on giving. Thank you for it.